Father, we are very grateful for the afternoon that thou hast given unto us, the time to have, we've had fellowship, we've discussed with one another the thoughts of our week, maybe even shared some of the thoughts from the sermon in the morning. Lord, we know that there are many needs, and we know that only you can fulfill those needs. We pray that you'd be touching many hearts today and watching over us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like if you'd turn with me to the book of Malachi. This is the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 1. So we're going through we're going to read Malachi chapter 1. So turn to Matthew and then go back one book. And if you'd like, if you'd bear with me, instead of reading the whole passage, I'm going to kind of read some excerpts and paraphrase to make it clear. So this is at a time, we don't have an exact time, but it seems to be the time right around where the temple has been rebuilt. Jerusalem's kind of been restored. Nehemiah, Ezekiel, it's all during this time. And the name Malachi means a messenger of God. Some have conjectured that that's really what it is. It's not a name, but this is a message from God. Others say that's foolishness. His name is Malachi. But it starts out, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. So this is important to understand. He starts it out plain. This is a burden upon God. And why is it a burden? He says, I have loved you. This is now that it's established, this is the burden from the Lord. I have loved you. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? So let's just think about that. So the Lord is making it clear that he does love this. He is kind of in the past, present, and future tense. I love you. I've loved you. I continue to love you. And they are saying, what do you mean you've loved us? You see how we have this in modern day, right? Daddy, can I have some ice cream? Well, no, you can't. Well, you don't love me. Is that what it means? Maybe a husband forgets to get his wife an anniversary card. Well, you don't love me. Is that true? Maybe there's an accident while one of our loved ones is away. God does not love me. He wouldn't have allowed that to happen. I had a friend years ago. I have a friend now, but years ago, he told me he came home and his girlfriend just had left. No, nothing. Right? Obviously, she did not love him. The biblical understanding, so going back to the ice cream, right? The child and the ice cream. This is the child's understanding of love. If you give me what I want, you must love me. Right? This is, somehow we've trained this into our children sometimes. Husband forgetting the card. So that's the child's understanding. A husband forgetting to give the card. You don't love me. That's the wife's understanding. I'm sure that the husband doesn't mean it that way. Well, it could be, but in general, we just don't get it many times. We don't understand how to show love to our wives. When an accident takes away one of our loved ones, yeah, we are tempted to say, you know, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And if you think of where the children of Israel were at this time, remember, they are coming out of a few generations here where Jerusalem was taken over by Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were taken captive. They were taken away. And Jerusalem was, you know, taken away. The temple is destroyed, right? You can see how they might say that you don't love us. Now, going through the rest, God says, no, I do love you. He kind of explains why. And then he says in verse 6, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests, you despise your name, my name. You offer polluted bread. You know, it seems that J. Vernon McGee said, you know, if there was an accident and a cow got, you know, hurt or was about to die, you know, they rushed it to the temple to sacrifice it. That was the type of sacrifices they were offering. Generation after generation, slowly but surely, they had crept away. If they thought you thought they were bad at the beginning, they were being punished by being taken into captivity because they weren't listening to what God said. They weren't listening. And it just got worse, it seems. And God is saying, no, this is a burden. I do love you. My child, I love you. But I can't let you continue on eating this way, let's say. You know, let's say they just eat bread. You know, that's all they want to eat, you know, or just eat cookies. You know, that's not good, right? And so, as he continues on, he very plainly points out how you might as well just shut the doors because I'm not listening. I'm not listening to what you're saying, what you're asking, because you are not giving me the honor. You are not giving me the praise that I deserve. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. There's a verse that is very famous. We know that verse. From the going down, rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And I just wanted to take a moment and pop back to the book of Joshua and talk about a Gentile. We're going to talk about Rahab, right? So here, this is they're coming into the promised land. This is the beginning in the book of Joshua. They've exited out of Egypt. They're coming into the promised land. And the spies are sent out. And they're sent out to go into Jericho. And I'll just read a few verses here, and then we'll elaborate. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight out of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come unto thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the men and hid them, and said, thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hidden them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them and them the way to Jordan unto the fords. As soon as they which pursued after them were gone, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof. So the spies are on the roof. She had hid. She had told lies. She was a harlot. And she said unto the men, now here's something important here. She's a Gentile, right? She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came up out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath. So there's an extrapolation. It went from, we know that you came out of Egypt. There's a miraculous, you parted the Red Sea. You came through the Red Sea. You've taken over our enemies, which there are other enemies and they've been taken over. But she's now taken that and gone the next step. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you this kindness. So here's Rahab, a Gentile. And going back to Malachi, my name will be declared among the heathen, right? Among the Gentiles. Here's Rahab, who you can't say she was living a godly life. You can't say that, even though there's an example of her lie, that God said that was a good thing. But what she did have, what she did understand, is this faith that God, she formed an accurate understanding of who God was by the events that she saw, by the words that she saw. And in doing that, she trusted. You could say that she trusted in the spies, but really that was just happenstance. Those were her first contact with God's people. She trusted that they would take care of her, that their God that could be her God, as we read further. We see that not only did that happen, but if you go and read in other chapters in the New Testament, that she became part of the lineage of Christ, right? So she went from a Gentile, afraid for her life, to having an accurate understanding of who God was. She trusted those who had experienced God's power and entered into his service, the spies. She had served God by helping his people. And as she was saved, even though the town of Jericho was cast down, it seems that she integrated into society, right? She followed the instructions of those who had already learned from God's way. And I think this is important for us. John 14:21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and manifest or show myself unto him." And then Deuteronomy, Old Testament, "Know therefore that the Lord, he is God, the faithful God. The Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. We had that song, I think it was in camp. To 1,000 generations. God so loved the world. That's a big picture. Christ also loved the church, Ephesians 5. So the world, now a subset of the world. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. Me. It goes from the big picture of the world to a subset, the church, to me. God does love us, and he chastens us. And it's important to understand, in the morning's Bible class, we did have the example of, you know, how do you balance these different passages in Scripture that talks about God's blessings and God's chastenings? If you think about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, why were they there? Why was Rahab in the middle? You know, her whole world was turned upside down. Her people were taken away. And you'd think that's bad. But really, it was just the beginning of a chapter in her life that was going to change. And as she served the Lord, good came from it. As Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had tough times, but they served the Lord in their capacity, and he was glorified. That was what was important. As we look to understand how God works in our life, I like that quote. I think it was Duncan, and somebody else had the same quote. Suffering is optional. You know, the circumstances that we're in, right? Those are circumstances that we're in. How you view those circumstances, how you think about those circumstances, and how they cause you worry or concern, that's an optional thing. That's something that can be looked differently by different people. And having a mindset that God's in control, right? that mindset, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we know who's in control, O king, and it's not you. And you can throw us into the fiery furnace. We're not going to serve thee, but we know either way that God's going to deliver. That's the mindset. God delivers as he delivers. Man can destroy the body. God can destroy the soul or save the soul. And we're in it for the long run. As we ponder Malachi's message, the message of God through Malachi to the children of Israel, as we ponder that for him, from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. That's us. Let's make sure his name is great amongst us. May the Lord bless his word.